of an interview being conducted between Karen Duder and on the 18th of May. The 8th of May. Yes, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. The 8th of May, 1998. You were telling me, I had asked you on the last tape whether or not you and your girlfriends ever talked amongst yourselves about sexuality and that sort of thing. And you had said no, and then you had begun to talk about one girl.
Yes, or one girl who wanted to try some experiments of some kind. And I was a bit surprised by it all.
Hmm.
But I didn't do anything very much with it. But this was when we were quite young, and I don't know, maybe 13, 14. 12, 13, around there, yeah.
What did she want to get up to?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to remember now. I remember being surprised, you know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily shocked, but I didn't wish to do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I've always been a very private person.
Mm-hmm. So this was she approached you.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Sort of at one of your homes, or
no? We were having a picnic right in the country somewhere. I can't remember where it was.
Mm-hmm. And how did you respond?
I think I remember saying that I didn't really want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And what was her reaction to that?
She didn't seem to be too upset. No, mm-hmm. I think she was just curious herself. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of, you show me yours and I'll show you mine, sort of routine, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd always seen lots of bodies, so I wasn't a bit surprised.
Mm-hmm. Around the home or?
Yes, around the home, yes. Because when we were young children, my father made us each have a cold bath every morning, you know, the British. So, in turn, we would jump into the bath of cold water and jump out again as quickly as we could.
Mm.
So, I mean, it was never a surprise to me to see a male body.
Right.
Yeah. And my mother was never shy about going around with not much on and that sort of thing. Yeah. So I think I wasn't interested, let's put it that way.
Mm.
But that's really the only thing I can remember of that sort of interesting item for your study.
When you were growing up, did you ever hear anybody talking about, there are various terms, the solitary vice?
Or no, I never did. No, as a matter of fact, I never even heard the word lesbian until I was in my 20s. I remember sort of the first sort of reference to it, very early 20s, or before I was 20 even. When I was working, I worked for this the Toronto office of this huge American advertising agency, J. Walter Thompson, and there was a girl there who was a copywriter. She was, you know, one of them. I was just a lowly steno and receptionist and things like that. And she and another gal took me up, you might say. I think they were genuinely friendly. I liked them, that sort of thing. Anyway, one of these gals, who's now dead, I know, so I can say this quite merrily about her, was people used to say she was all things to all people.
Mm.
And I remember that was the first time that I sort of had any idea about this sort of thing. And then, of course, afterwards, I remember that there was, this chap who is now openly gay, a lawyer that was the son of my friend in Toronto. And then there was another chap in the sort of circle of young men that we knew who was I realize now, was gay too, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
When you first heard that description of that woman, can you remember how you felt or what you thought about that? Or?
No, I just was, you know, it was an interesting fact, that's all, as far as I was concerned.
Who was it a colleague who said this to you, or?
No, it was one, it was, I don't know, somebody I knew in Toronto said this and knew this person, you know.
Mm.
She went on to good things. She had I realize now, a gentleman friend who was gay. But, you know, we didn't realize it at the time, but I was on thinking it over, of course, I realized that's who it was. Mm-hmm. But she also had this other woman, and was they were friends, I think, definitely just friends, who was interesting in the fact that she was married to a Japanese chap, which was mm-hmm. fairly unusual in those days. And I have this theory that when we're all a cafe au lait color in the world, a lot of our problems will be solved.
I'm intrigued by the sort of social circle. The woman who was all things to everybody.
Yeah.
So she was the one who had the gay male friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think did they used to go out together?
Yes,
go dancing together.
They probably did. I think they went out together. They were richer than I was. They had better jobs, and they were older, of course, a bit older, and they had their circle. But we really only met at work and for lunch and things like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was this a period when in Toronto you could only go into certain parts of hotels if you were accompanied by a man?
Oh yeah, then there were so-called beverage rooms. You mean yeah, there were what do they call them? Ladies and escorts, and then there were men-only ones. Yeah, that were divided that way, and they were here too, I think, at one point. Yeah,
right.
You could go into the ladies and escorts on your own if you wanted to. I went in with just women sometimes for a beer. I happen to like beer, and but a man couldn't come into the ladies and escorts unless he was with the lady. That was all his, yeah, God, it was, I think, a prissy carry-on it was. We're getting almost civilized here now. We still can't go into a restaurant and have a drink unless you buy a sandwich or something. I happen to be a not frequenter, but I go quite often. I like to eat out. I get bored of cooking for myself, and I go down to the Water Club, and you know that in the Crystal Building, Crystal Gardens there? That they wanted that to be a wine club.
Mm.
That was what they were hoping, but they couldn't get that kind of a license. So, but it's a nice restaurant run by the Herald Street Cafe people, and the food is good. And they give you a very generous wine, a glass of wine. You get a quarter liter when you order a glass of wine, which is more than you do in most places, I can tell you. Because I nearly always, when I do go out for dinner, I nearly always have a glass of wine, and use an astonishing range of prices for them, and the size of the glass is quite interestingly different.
Has that always been the case? Have you always been partial to a glass of wine with dinner, for example?
Yes, well, we always have. You know, I'm used to the fact that liquor has always been available in my life, let's put it that way. I have a large bar over there full of everything you can care to drink if you want something. I have a lot of wine. I bought a case of wine at Cherry Point last fall, and I was up there again doing a wine tour with my sister-in-law, and I bought a whole bunch more, and then a friend had some wine left over from a party that she was wanting to get rid of, and so I bought three bottles of not your standard, but the liquor and liter and a half ones, you know, the big bottles of French wine, I think, one or two French and one Italian, for, what does she want for them? $30. I said, it's three bottles, why not for $30? Sure, I'll buy them from you. And I discovered when she produced them that they were these big bottles, so I got a real bargain. I'm going to have somebody around to drink them sometime soon.
Can you remember when you had your first drink?
Well, I don't know, because we always, you know, my mother always had sherry, and mm-hmm. when we were older, when we were children, young people, we used to help at cocktail parties, and we would drink what was left in the glasses after they'd go. People had gone. So our job was to probably wash them. I can't remember, but we drank what was left. Mm-hmm. But nobody, I had my eldest brother, who has since died, he didn't have a major drinking problem, but he shouldn't have drunk as much as he did, let's put it that way. But nobody else in the family has become an alcoholic, so I guess we're fairly safe, and I definitely am not an alcoholic.
No kind of prohibition stuff back in those days.
No, 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 no. But we didn't, I remember getting, we didn't like, when I went, as I've already told you, when we was at college parties and things, we didn't like the boys that got mm-hmm. drunk because he thought it was just, I just think it was bad behavior, that's all. Mm-hmm. And I still think so, of course, but I don't like people to get falling down. Unless they're safely at home. I'm not behind the wheel of a car.
Did when you were going to the beverage rooms in Toronto, mm-hmm. Were there any of those that you walked in where you thought that the clientele was kind of unusual, or do you think you strayed into any that were gay bars?
Or? I doubt it very much, because for one thing, I nearly always went with my husband or some other men, and so we went into the ladies and escorts department, and he sat around drinking beer, and he couldn't get anything to eat, you know, just beer. And then when I came back here, the so-called beer parlors here, you went in, and I'm sure you've heard all these horrible tales, but the tables in the had toweling tops on them to absorb the spilled beer. You never ordered one glass of beer, you ordered two. And I can remember when it was two for a quarter. And if you were, it was fairly fancy if you ordered bottled beer.
When was that, when you moved back here? With your...
Well, after the war, about 45 or so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sort of moving into the 40s and the early 50s for a time, do you remember hearing about the Kinsey Report?
The Kinsey? Yeah. Oh, sure. Heavens, yes. I remember reading all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah. Mm.
Did you read it at the time that it was published and there was all the controversy, or did you read it much later?
Oh, no, I read it when it was reported, mm-hmm. when it came in. I read the paper and I read what's going on. I've always read, moderately serious magazines and things like that. Yeah.
Did you read any tabloid newspapers back in those days?
Oh, I never have. I consider them boring. I can't understand how the Brits can waste their time on them. And there weren't any tabloids, except there was a paper in Toronto called Hush. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I can remember looking at it, but I don't remember buying it particularly, but people... It was sort of just a scandal sheet, really, is what it was. Something like the News of the World in England was. And this was before they got into looking into everybody's back bedroom window, like they've been doing ever since. One of my entertainments now while I'm waiting in the checkout line is to see the headlines on the National Enquirer. See what ridiculous carry-on they're talking about now.
Those the similar ones like Hush and some of the others. Some of the Canadian historians of sexuality have looked at how those scandal sheets sort of ridiculed the gay lifestyle, but also provided people who were questioning their sexuality with a kind of advertisement.
So
here's where you go to find.
There was a choice,
When you were living in Toronto, were you aware of where the gay areas were?
No, definitely not. But I did know people that were gay. Mm. But who didn't blurt it out, you know, but everybody sort of knew they were and didn't bother. Nobody seemed to be upset by it.
Hmm. So you didn't know anybody who, for example, for whom there were negative consequences, say, in losing a job or...
No, I never knew anybody who was fired for being gay, no. But I knew somebody who ended up by committing suicide because he had problems. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the problems were particularly. I mean, he was a lawyer, too. It's another lawyer, strangely enough. He was an amusing cat. He used to drive right around Centre Island wearing a top hat on his bike.
It's fairly flamboyant.
Yeah.
Yes. What was it, you say that people knew that these people were gay. Were there visual clues, or was it just rumour?
I think it was just talk, you know, yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Didn't, as I recall, upset anybody particularly. They still came to our parties and that sort of thing on their own, but we never had any We never had two gay men or two gay women come to the parties that I can recall. And I don't remember that ever happening.
Right.
But most of the, I think, this chap that committed suicide was probably rebuffed in some way or other by life.
Hmm.
He was an amusing card. I remember him now. He used to drive us when we went out on New Year's Eve. He would be the designated driver, and he had a big car. And he would drive us, and I remember being out in the country somewhere around Toronto, and it was snowing, and we were going along, and the whole car just wildly slipped into the ditch like that. It was down a bank, you know, about maybe this deep, you know. It was quite a... So I can remember him sitting there quietly. He said, "Oh, okay, everybody out and push." So we all got out and pushed the car out again. Yeah, we were everybody liked him, you know, and that's why there were nobody wouldn't have anything to do with him or anything. I've never met people that felt like that.
Mm.
I don't. That's not any reason that I wouldn't have anything to do with the person. There are some reasons that I wouldn't have anything to do with the person. There's nothing to do with their sexuality.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What words? You talked about becoming aware of lesbianism fairly early on, really.
Yeah.
But what words were about? What ways did people have of describing if they didn't use the word lesbian or homosexual?
Yeah, say? I don't know what they. I can't remember what they call people, but I mean, I remember in the Air Force there were. Well, we had within a great big. One of those H blocks, you know, just the washrooms in the middle and two things on either side like that. And there must have been 40 people in double up and down bunks. Now, there was one section, somebody's boring a hole somewhere. There was down at that corner of the barrack block, there was a gal who had her hair cut like you, which was a real giveaway in those days.
Oh, yes.
Short and And she was a kind of a heavy person, and she had a friend. She had that one, I remember which one or other of them had the upper and lower bunk. And we all assumed, I think, but we didn't ever talk about it or anything like that, that they were a gay pair. But definitely this gal was, anyway. I don't often wonder what happened to her, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. But, and there may well have been others in the gang, yeah, and the whole lot of us. But I don't remember. I had two particular friends, and one of whom is this gal who now is in the nursing home in Press Terrace, and another gal who's since died. But we were friends, and I've been friends with my friend Dorothy for many, many years. She is definitely not gay.
Did you hear anything... any of the talk about purging lesbians from the military at that point? Or?
No, because it would never happen during the war, you know. They wanted us from the war. Nobody. It was only after the war when they had time to think about it, I think. I don't know what the scenario was in the Canadian forces. I don't know. I imagine this. I've heard and read a great deal about the American forces now. Knowing Canadians, I'm sure they were a little quieter about it all, but that's about all you can say. I'm sure they were just as vicious and nasty, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. There was a bit of talk during the war about whether or not it was quite respectable for women to be in the forces.
Oh, yes, I can remember that, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, so that was around when... am I correct in assuming that because of your family's background in the forces that perhaps you didn't come into any condemnation for your desire to join up?
Oh, no. I and my three brothers were all in the forces. I was in the Air Force. My youngest brother was a radar technician officer, and my other two brothers were in the Navy. One was a permanent force Navy, and one just was in during the war. I have a picture of us, all three of us, all four of us in uniform.
Did you know anybody among your gang whose family had disapproved of their decision to join up?
No, I don't. No. No, I think, you see, as I say, you're right. I'm sure it was my family had a background in military services, much as I disapprove of wars and fighting, but that was supposed to be the only good war, you know. It wasn't very good, but it was better than some.
What do you think your father would have thought about you being in the Air Force?
Had he still been alive? I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell. He was very supportive of anything that I wanted to do, but so long ago now, you know, I forget. Mm. He might have been okay, and he might have not. You never know. You don't know how. You never know how people are going to react to things. Anyway, it always comes as a delightful surprise sometimes, or a nasty surprise, one or the other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know how he would have acted. I probably could have got around him, you know, I'm sure. Just like my own daughter got around her father for anything she wanted. Who is one of the straighter people I know. I mean, my daughter is. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether they know I'm a lesbian or not. They may well suspect it, but
right.
Consider it's not necessarily their business. It isn't affecting them in any way. And anyway, they all live in the East, so I don't have that worry. I have a lot of cousins here, but not in live up. And my sister-in-law, who also is my cousin, which makes it complicated. She and I are quite our good friends, but she's far from being a lesbian. But I'm sure quite wouldn't be upset. She may even know I am. I don't know. She comes to my birthday parties and things where the crowd is mixed. Straight and otherwise. And one of the things about the Unitarian Church, in which I have quite a few friends now, is that they're pretty relaxed about everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At least they're relaxed about that sort of thing. They're generally fighting mad about a lot of other things.
But there do seem to be a lot of people involved in the Unitarian Church.
Yeah. The one down here is an absolute hive of lesbians.
At what point do you think you became aware of your sexuality? How old would you have been?
Oh, probably, well, really aware, about 50, I think, maybe. Yeah. You realize that's 35 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what do you think made that change for you? What was it that brought that realization on?
I don't know. I had a friend I was very fond of, but she definitely wasn't. But we were friends for many years. She's now lives up north somewhere and has lost her marbles a bit, unfortunately, I hear, which is too bad. Mm-hmm. But I think that was when I realized that I would like to have been more than just a friend, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Had you had those feelings about other people before that?
Not really, I don't think, no. But I've always wanted to have a close woman friend, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably telling me something which I didn't catch on to in time.
Did you have any, between when you were really very young and when you finally sort of decided that you might have wished for something more, did you have the sort of passionate crushes on teachers or on...
No, never had them, no.
So never that sort of overwhelming...
Mm-mm.
Body tormenting kind of.
No. I never have had that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm too cold a fish or something. I don't know. or my sense of humor overcomes anything like that that I might have.
You've talked about your relationship with your husband being a very good one, and I'm wondering if I can ask you some questions about that. And
if you like, I'll tell. I may or may not reply.
Yes, I just want to say if there's anything that offends you, please do let me know. But in that happy relationship, would you also have described your physical relationship with him as a happy one?
No, indifferent.
Mm.
He was not a very sexual person himself, I don't think. So we kind of drifted apart, but we remained buddies forever, you know, friends.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in the same house. We didn't have many sexual relations after about, I don't know, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. So that wasn't a source of conflict?
No, it didn't seem to be a source of conflict, no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was playing around with anybody else either. He might have been when he was overseas, I don't know.
Can I be direct and ask if he was your first?
What?
Was he your first?
No, not quite.
Not quite.
No, I had, you know, some encounters, shall we say, in Toronto with another person, but that's all.
Mm-hmm. At that time, when you had your first experiences of sexuality, did they match what you had been led to believe?
No, that's why. It never really grabbed me, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was persuaded by my husband to sleep with him and marry him. And because I was fond of him and liked him, I thought, well, this is what you do, you know, so why don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm. How did that make you, were you sort of aware during your marriage of that indifference, or did it just sort of happen? Did you think about it, is I guess what I'm asking?
Yes, I did. I thought that something, it must be something better than this, so it's maybe my fault, maybe, you know.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I felt it was too bad, and I felt it was too bad for him too, you know. I didn't feel that I was the only person that was to a certain extent deprived. I felt badly about it, him, so I was as supportive as possible in every other way that I could be. And I think we remained friends, and as I say, I never went away and left him when he was sick or anything, which was doing that. Well, you know, I'm one of these people that if I say I'm going to do something, I do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you never had any temptation to seek anything anywhere else?
No. Mm-hmm. I busied myself with many things. Well, I worked for one thing full time, in a moderately responsible job, and I also belonged to the Business Professional Women's Club. I was on the executive of it and the national executive and all that kind of stuff, and that sort of thing entertained me. and I liked to travel, and my husband didn't really like to travel, and so I used to travel a lot on my own or with a friend, you know. This friend I told you that now is up north. She, up north, where's up north, up there. She and I used to travel by car a lot, and we also went to Europe together and various things like that. But she really freaked out when I suggested that we might be more friendly than we were. She freaked out, scared her right out of her wits, apparently. And I was so surprised myself, I couldn't believe it, that she would be surprised.
How did you broach the subject?
How did I broach the subject? I said, wouldn't she like to be a little bit more friendly than she was being, or something like that, and she got quite hysterical about it. I was surprised because she had been, you know, quite good at hugging and kissing and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, that's the way you feel.
Did that cause any problems in your friendship after that? Or?
Yes, it did, to a certain extent, yeah. I think she was frightened out of her wits. I think in many ways that she probably really felt that way herself but didn't like to admit it. I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I've often wondered about that, but I've never really had the nerve to ask her again. And as I say now, I wouldn't be able to believe what she said now, because I think she doesn't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. I think she's got, well, I don't know if she's got Alzheimer's, but she's got something like that a bit, I think, you know. Anyway, there was general cheering among my friends when we broke up. They thought I was wasting my time with her, so there you are. Mm. Yeah. But she was a good friend to me for many years, so that's all I can say.
When you had broached that subject with her, did you know the specifics of what you wanted?
Oh, sure, yes. I can read.
What had you been reading?
Oh, yeah. Oh, lots of books, yeah. I don't know, all the standard lesbian books.
Mm-hmm.
And the Naiad Press books and Jane Rule's books. And,
So what... When, can you remember more or less what year it was that that this arose in your relationship with this woman?
What year it was? Well, oh, not that long ago. About 10 years ago.
Right.
See, I'm basically a very shy person. People find that hard to believe, too, but it is true. Takes me a long time to be friendly with people.
I was wondering, when you were about 50 and you began to realize that you had some feelings towards other women, did that inspire you to read, to research?
Yes, it did, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's when I got interested in reading all the lesbian books that are, you know, from The Well of Loneliness, which I found madly boring. and also I introduced myself to Jane Rule, and we have been acquaintances ever since, and I've often stayed at her place and that sort of thing, so I think I'm quite consider her a friend. I'm sure she has thousands of friends, but always is very welcoming. And I got interested in, and I have a large collection of lesbian books in there, which I keep lifting up and giving to various people, like the G-spot and things like that.
Oh, you were still married at this time, obviously.
Yes, I know, but my husband wasn't really quite with it, shall we? It wasn't. He died in 89.
So you were able to research, and without that becoming a source of difficulty within your relationship?
No difficulty. No. If it was a difficulty, I was not aware of it, let's put it that way. But I don't know.
But you didn't explore those feelings physically with anybody at that point?
Not at that point, no. Ooh. Red light is on.
Yes, it's working.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a few further questions about early relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you talking about your first intimate encounter.
Yeah.
A little bit before your husband.
Yeah.
That was in Toronto?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How did you meet that person?
Well, that person was a man, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, just a casual acquaintance and a little bit too much liquor, that's what that was. I should have known better, but I was only, 19, I guess, at the time, so kind of far away from home.
Had you been attracted to him before?
No, just somebody that I met at a party, and alcohol was the problem, I think. Yeah. And I was not particularly impressed by the result, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. one hears sometimes the expression, lie back and think of Mother England or think of the Empire.
No, yeah, I don't think bite on the bullet, I think, is the other one, too. Yeah.
Do those bear any relation to your early experiences?
The whole thing was a bit hazy, actually. I'm sure if I'd been completely sober, I wouldn't have permitted it. Fortunately, there were no consequences.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask if you used any preventative.
Not that I was aware of, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Had you been aware of any of the various forms of contraception that
I have, because one of the other things that my mother told me about were those, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Had you ever seen any of them?
No, because you don't find condom lying around like you do nowadays. Be careful where you step in some places. You want to see the movie down here at the Vic, the new movie called Winter Visitor or Winter something.
Oh, yes, I'm going to see
that. It's very funny, it's awfully difficult to understand because they're very Scottish.
Mm.
And the little children who are really the funniest of young boys, they're very Scottish. And so you can get the sort of drift of what they're talking about, but by golly, it's tricky. I think I don't know whether if I saw it again, I'd get any further or not. I was talking to my hairdresser who happens to come from Scotland, and I was telling her about this, and I said, she said, well, she took her boyfriend or somebody to see the full Monty, and he kept saying to her all the time, what are they saying? What are they saying? She said, she'd missed the next joke because he was wanting to know this, yeah. But they went again, apparently, a second time, and he really enjoyed it that time. See, but I don't know whether I'd ever be able to understand what these little boys are saying. But it's a good show. I recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Slow, and you wonder what in the world. Boy, is it bleak and cold. Wear an extra sweater when you go. You'll get feeling colder all the time. Since some little Scottish village in the snow.
Right.
A scattering of snow. And what bothers me is everybody goes around with their coats hanging open and no gloves all the time. Not proper Canadians at all. Anyway, I recommend it as an entertaining show.
I'm trying to just sort of thinking of film for a moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if have you always been an avid film goer?
Well, fairly. I'm fairly fussy about movies. I used to go to lots and lots at one time, but now I have to make a supreme effort, or the theatre, which is a Vic theatre, which is just down the street, makes it tempting. But I get a lot of things from Pick a Flick, the movies there quite often, ones that I'm interested in. I sometimes go in there and look through the whole entire stock and come out with nothing, but there you are.
Did you used to go to a lot of film, say, before 1965?
Oh, heavens yes. As a young person, I went.
What kinds of things?
Almost anything that was going, you know, but not... I'm just trying to think what kind of movies there were. They were mostly sitcoms and musicals, you know, way back. Yeah. I quite like the sitcoms, and I admire the displays of dancing and Busby Berkeley films and things like that, but I'm not a follower of musical comedy. I like opera, but not musical comedy.
Did you used to go to the theatre when you were married?
Yes, we went to the theatre a lot in Toronto. You saw the Abbey players from Dublin who came there and all sorts of things like that. Yeah. In the old Royal Alec and right on the very top gallery. No, and I was a child. There was theatre came here, you know, in the old days. Somebody's you've never heard of, I'm quite sure, but Sir John Martin Harvey was a famous actor of his time, a late Victorian Edwardian actor, I think, and he brought a team out here, and they used to play at the Royal, and I can remember going with my mother. And also, I'm one of the few people that's ever actually seen Anna Pavlova dancing. She, when I was 8 years old, my mother took me to see her. She came here, believe it or not. And the Royal Shakespeare Company came here, saw a lot of Shakespeare plays done. But we haven't had traveling theatre, of course, for many years. People can't afford to, travel, I think.
Right.
So I'm a shall we say, a supporting member of the Belfry Theatre. So I like their plays, yeah.
And would I be correct in assuming that you might also have gone to a lot of musical performances back then as well?
Oh, yes, I've been going to the Victoria Symphony. First of all, I went to the Toronto Symphony. I first was in Toronto. A rich friend of my mother's gave me a couple of years of series tickets to it, which was very nice of her. And that was when Sir, what's his name, Macmillan was the leader of the symphony. That was in its early days. And then here I've been gone to the symphony in Victoria since about, I would say, 1950, the early 50s. Mm-hmm. And I've been going every year, and I still go. Mm. I happen to like symphony music, and I like to be there. I like to watch them playing.
Right.
I like the intimacy of being with them while they're doing it. On the other hand, I have drawers full of CDs too.
Did you, sort of thinking here before 1965, and I remember you saying that you first began to think that you were a lesbian around about age 50.
Yeah.
Which, if I remember rightly, would be around 1963?
Around there, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Before you decided that, would you say that you had any suspicions?
I don't know, really, whether I did or not. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Did you use any word to describe your sexuality before that, or did you think of yourself as a heterosexual person?
I suppose I did. I thought of myself almost as not liking to be a heterosexual person, but not really knowing what else to be. No, that's the sort of thing. It wasn't that I objected to sex, but I didn't enjoy it, if you want to be quite frank.
Right.
Which I should have done, and I felt I should have done. That's the one I felt I should have done, but I didn't. So that's the only story I can tell you.
Had you read in the 1950s and the early 60s any of the new articles appearing in such women's magazines as Chatelaine, for example, on what the ideal relationship should be like? Do you recall any of those?
Oh, you mean how to hold your man and all that kind of stuff? Oh, God, yes, I remember looking at a lot of them thinking I wasn't very interested in them, let's put it that way. But those magazines were full of those sort of articles. So was Cosmopolitan and Red Book and all those trashy mags. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever subscribe to those?
I never subscribed, but I used to buy them, I must admit. I gave up smoking so I'd have money to buy magazines, but on the other hand, I also bought other kinds of magazines like The Spectator and those sort of things too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a very interesting weekly paper, the name of which escapes me right now, a British one that was founded by Viscountess Rhonda, I think, who was a very early British female barrister and quite well-to-do. And somehow or other, I don't know, the name makes me think that her family must have owned coal mines in Wales or something. But anyway, I cannot think what this, I was trying to think of the name of it the other day. It ran for a long time in the 30s. It was an interesting sort of feminist for its time, you know, unstrident.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly to do, it's one of the few real, I don't know, shall we say, slightly superior women's magazines. But it wasn't a magazine, it really was the weekly papers. I think it was weekly, it might have only been monthly, I can't remember. As I recall, it had a sort of maroon or red brick-colored cover. It's funny how you forget these things. But the World War II chopped those sort of things off, and you couldn't get them. Of course, you couldn't get them out here, and they didn't publish even during the war. But that's all. I also used to read American papers of the, shall we say, left of center type, which I still do. Not American ones. I read Canadian ones now.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember offhand any of the titles? Or?
Oh, probably not. I'm not at the stage where I'm lucky if I can remember my own name. I think there was a famous, I've seen it's stupid, I cannot remember his name, and for years I've subscribed to it even. It was an American liberal weekly. Came out in the format of a sort of paper or something. Not as big as Monday, but about that size, bigger than the Standard magazine, but not thicker, but the format was larger. There was a famous man who ran it for a long time, who was told that he was going to die of something or other, and he was the fellow that determined that he wasn't going to die. And his theory was that laughing was going to help him, and laughing helped him, and he didn't die for a long time. He was quite a well-known character. None of his names or the connection of his magazine can I remember, but it's not a Saturday Review. I knew it would come to me eventually. The Saturday Review, that's right. What it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was quite good.
Were your, do you think that your political views were generally left of center in those days?
Yeah, they always have been, yeah. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of sneering remarks about being left of center because I seem to be fairly affluent, but I say that doesn't necessarily, you can have lots of rich people who don't think you, I don't think you have to be poor. It's like I'm always saying that all lesbians are not poor. I've been, well, they're always wanting to have, you know, special rates for them for parties and things. I say some of them are granted are haven't got jobs. I can understand that now, but they're not poor. After all, I used to be able to afford things, and long ago when if I wanted to go, I could go and I could pay for them. I don't like this business of wanting to get things for nothing. there is a nasty right-wing idea.
Now, I remember you mentioning that you had read the Well of Loneliness and you thought that it was a terrible bore.
Yeah.
If I remember rightly, though, you didn't read that until quite some time after it was actually published.
Oh, yes, I don't even know when it was published.
It was published in 1928, and there was considerable scandal about it at the time, and I was wondering if you ever heard of any of that scandal.
Yes, I heard of the scandal. Mm-hmm. But then I can't remember when I actually read it, and I thought it was depressingly boring, as a matter of fact. She may have written well, I don't know. I saw a very good play in Vancouver once about her life and her partner, whatever that woman's name was, that escapes me right now.
Una Troubridge.
Yeah, Troubridge, that's right.
Yes.
And it was quite a good play. It was done in one of the Firehouse Theater over there, I think. Actually, it was on when they had the gay games in Vancouver. Mm. I went to I never went to any of the athletic events, but I went to the so-called cultural type parts. That's all.
Speaking about gay cultural events and all of that, and you know, once again, I'm sort of bound by this end research date of 1965.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But I'm wondering if you were involved in or knew people who were involved in the early stages of the 1960s feminist movement.
Well, yes, because I was belonged to the Business and Professional Women's Club. So I was quite a bit involved in it, and all the persons, you know, the women that got us so that we could be senators, and that sort of thing. I mean, we did a lot of early stuff for the women's movement and that sort of thing, but not anything to do with lesbianism. It was just feminist. Yeah.
When had you got involved in the Business and Professional Women's Club?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I guess it was the late 50s. Mm. Mm-hmm. I belonged for quite a long time, and I was actually president for a while, but that's all. But then when I retired, I quit, because I figured you should be working to be in that. Not, I was comparatively alone, in my opinion, in this regard, but that's all right.
When were you involved at that executive level?
I'm just trying to think. I do a lot of multiplication and subtraction and stuff in my head. I never always have to think when I actually retired, so it was, which would be 20 years ago. So that would be, well, in the 70s. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is a little beyond your, but I was in it before your time, I think. So I think I belonged for about 15 or 20 years, I can't remember. Mm. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time, and I only remember interesting historical events that happened in my life. I don't look back, I look forward, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why I can't remember my own name sometimes. I may be going to change it, who knows?
Well, there certainly appears to have been a fair bit of change in your life.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. There you are. I like change. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing. I liked it in business. I was delighted when they changed all the methods about things, and then I had to persuade everybody to try and do it a different way. Mm. It was boring to do it the same way all the time.
How would you describe your personality generally? If you were to describe yourself to another person, what would you say?
What would I say? Mm. I don't know. Independent-minded, fairly quiet person.
Mm. You think, has that always been the case?
I think so, yeah. Mm. And you mightn't think so from getting me to talk, but I actually spent a lot of my time listening. Mm. It was a theory from my childhood. If you keep your ears open in classes and things like that, it saves you a whole lot of work, kids. But if you have a moderately good memory, it helps too. My memory used to be excellent. I used to be able to tell you what page, you know, where about on the page things were in books and stuff. I can still do that to a certain extent in the newspapers and things.
Mm. What benefits do you think those personal traits have brought you over the years?
An interest in continuing education, and I don't mean official continuing education. I mean continuing education for myself. I've done a lot of traveling in my day. Been quite a lot of places. Went behind the Iron Curtain when there was an Iron Curtain and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Where does your sexuality fit into all of this? I gather that you, quote unquote, came out
to myself, and a few people. That's all, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm essentially quite a quiet person. You have to drag things out of me, as you've probably discovered. I like dragging them out of other people. No, I think it's years of reading mystery stories. Mm-hmm. And I'm a frustrated lawyer, too. I would like to have been a lawyer. Mm. I wanted to be a lawyer, but the money ran out at the fatal time.
Mm. This was when you were in school, or...?
When I was in university, it was then, bang, crash, 1928, you know. So I really only ever had 1.5 years of official university, but I've taken endless courses and have a lot of credits and things through UVic at night and through Open University and stuff like that.
Mm.
Open Learning Institute, I'm sorry, it's the same thing, you know.
Right.
But I never bothered getting a degree. Mm. As I told you earlier, I'm tired of writing essays. If I'd had a computer, I might have gone on. It's a lot easier to write on the computer than it is to write by hand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else that you would like to sort of talk about your life before 1965, about what it was like, or?
No, I was really just interested in my own work. Mm-hmm. And the Business and Professional Women's Club, those are my two outlets. Mm-hmm. I traveled as soon as I could get on my feet and go. I've been to, I first went to England in 1960, and I've gone there nearly every year since. Mm. I've been to over Europe several times, and I've been to New Zealand, and I've been to, last year I went to Sicily and Malta, and the year before that I went to Scandinavia, which I'd never been to before. And I generally go to England. When I do those, I also take a week or 2 weeks in England, just because I have friends there and I like to go and visit them. But no, I'm essentially a very private person. Mm-hmm. I've never been able to see why lesbians, and I sympathize with them wanting to, why they have to get up on a soapbox and say, I'm a lesbian. I would think it takes one to know one most of the time, and it's also fairly obvious nowadays, particularly. But it used to be obvious years ago. I can remember, you know, seeing people that I thought were probably lesbians when I was quite young. Mm.
Mm-hmm. What mostly, made you think?
Mostly hairstyle and way of sort of swashbuckling around. Yeah, I mean, even then people had short hair. And I, strangely enough, well, it was the fashion like it is now. When I was quite a young girl and I was in school, my pictures of me I see with my hair like yours. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. What about style of dress? Do you think that did lesbians in, say, in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, was there a particular style of dress favored by anyone you knew who you thought,
Yeah. Well, I can remember during World War II seeing people that always wore slacks, which was unusual in those days, and I must admit that I wore them myself too, but I didn't realize why I did, let's put it that way, because I thought they were comfortable, and I still do. But I never wore them when I went to work, actually. I always wore, you know, suits. I always wore power suits of various kinds. Mm-hmm. When I retired, I put on slacks all day, and I've never gone back, and now I never wear skirts in there. Mm-hmm.
So you,
just because they're comfortable, that's all. Not to prove anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did anybody ever remark on the fact that you used to wear slacks, say in the 40s? Or?
Yeah, well, that's when people were intrigued by the fact that I had them tailor-made. Mm-hmm. Some of my friends were.
What sort of things would they say?
Oh, they admired my clothes, let's put it that way. I don't think they said anything funny. You know, I don't think they made any comment. Well, if they did, they didn't say it to me, let's put it that way. Well, there you are. Mm-hmm.
Well, what would you say being a lesbian means for you?
Means for me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I prefer the company of women. In all ways, let's put it that way. I have some men friends that I know that I quite like, that I can do without them. Mm-hmm. I'm very fond of my son-in-law, strangely enough. He's a very nice man. And he happens to be in town again right now. He's not staying with me this time, but he's come out to the 50th anniversary of his high school. He went to high school here. No, I prefer the company of women, and I always have. I think it's because my mother was a strong woman of her own kind and admired her, and for her, considering her background and upbringing, she was very liberal.
Do you think it's, I'm sure that because you're widely read, you're aware of the debate about whether or not lesbianism is genetic or social.
Oh, yes,
What's your feeling about that debate?
I feel it's genetic. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a great deal of background for that right now, particularly if somebody has isolated some kind of chromosome or something. Yeah. But anyway, a lot of scientists are having a lot of fun on the subject, and so are you, too.
What do you think it was that kept so many women from realizing that part of themselves, that biological part of themselves, in those days before feminism?
I think it was upbringing, and you know, the general aura all around you of what a woman should do or be or something like that. I was not very much in favor of doing exactly what everybody thought I should do, and I must admit my mother didn't feel I should. She after all, she let me go off at age 18 by myself to Toronto, you know, and that sort of thing, to seek fortune. She was a strong believer in, and it's one of the things that was really inculcated in me, was the fact that if you say you're going to do something, and if you promise to do it, or even if you say it, you do it.
Mm.
And I have lived on that. And because I said I would love, honor, and obey, or not necessarily obey, I don't think, my husband, I felt I had made a promise so that I would stay with him. He wanted me to stay, and so I stayed with him. I looked after the unfortunate man until he died, and as a matter of fact, actually, basically, I liked him. He was a nice fellow. But we didn't have much in common sexually, let's put it that way. So there you are.
Hmm.
I'm a dull subject.
Oh, I don't think so.
Haven't done anything very exciting like other people have.
Well, I think you've answered my questions. Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to add at this point?
Nope.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Hmm.
I hope you get A+.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah. With distinction, I think. Isn't that the word? Or magna cum laude or something like that.
I'm not sure what it is at doctoral level.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.